our first segment of Talk Back Live, local talk on your live local station. And Dennis, we head to the FordCountry.com hotline. It's amazing the work going on at PNNL, and we try to highlight that on the morning show.
That is right, and we have Karen Rodland, who's actually one of the key researchers at Pacific Northwest National Lab, dealing with searching out the potential items, focusing in on how to deal with triple negative breast cancer. And Karen, thank you for joining us here this morning.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm delighted to participate.
I wanted to ask you, first of all, I had not heard of triple negative breast cancer. Is it fairly unusual?
It's one of the less common forms of breast cancer, but it's still, say, 25 or 20% of all cases of breast cancer. It's called triple negative because it's missing key proteins that allow us to design treatments to match the tumor. So the most common type of breast cancer has estrogen receptors because the breast responds to estrogen, and estrogen makes the breast grow. So when these receptors get broken, the breast tissue grows inappropriately, and that's a breast cancer. There's another protein in breast tissue called the HER2 receptor, and it responds to growth signals that circulate in the blood, and again, it makes the breast grow. But if you have a cancer that has this HER2 receptor amplified, you can target it with an antibody to the HER2 receptor, and that will stop that breast cancer from growing. So it's a targeted therapy. Similarly, if you have estrogen or progesterone receptor positive cancers, you can use anti-hormonal therapy, drugs that counteract estrogen, and that will also slow down the growth of the tumor. And there you have a targeted therapy for your breast cancer. But if you don't have any of these known proteins, we really don't know what to do. We call them difficult to treat cancers. And you just have to give the general radiation therapy and the general chemotherapy that kills all dividing cells. These drugs have much worse side effects, and they don't always work as well as we'd like them to.
So the triple negative then, you're just not sure what is occurring?
That's true.
And therefore, you can't target the source, I guess, of what type of cancer it is, and you have to use that radical treatment.
That's exactly right.
Now, one of the things, too, is and we're talking with Karen Rodland with Pacific Northwest National Lab. Karen, often women are told you need to get that mammogram to, make sure that you don't have any signs of breast cancer. But in this case, with the triple negative breast cancers, it's really difficult to detect with mammography.
Not impossible, but more difficult. This kind of cancer tends to happen more in younger women who have more dense breasts, and the dense breast is hard to interpret on a mammogram. Another interesting thing about these triple negative cancers is when African-American women get breast cancer, it tends to be triple negative as opposed to the other types. So there's definitely population differences.
How does that any type of a correlation with sickle cell anemia?
No, they're completely different diseases.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is, different areas of the world have evolved together, and they have different genetic components. There's another type of breast cancer that's linked to a mutation in the BRCA1 gene, and this particular type of breast cancer is very common in Jewish women of Northern European descent.
It's fascinating. Had no idea.
And Karen, of course, you're working with the Walter Reed Clinical Breast Cancer Project right now. And I was kind of surprised when I saw some of the material on this. And one of the reasons why you're involved with Walter Reed is that there's a disproportionate number of African-American women who have this very, very odd triple negative cancer. And a lot of them are in the military.
That's absolutely right. So Walter Reed is responsible for providing the medical care both to female military personnel and to the female dependents of male military personnel. And a very large percentage of our women soldiers are of African-American descent, and they're younger in age. And this is the population that is most likely to have triple-negative breast cancer. And so Walter Reed is extremely interested in having a better understanding of this cancer and being able to offer more effective treatment for their people.
Now, one of the things, too, that now there are about 200 to 300 triple negative samples that are being used through the clinical study at a sample bank. Are these from all from separate patients or what?
Each one of these represents a tumor biopsy from an individual patient who has been seen at Walter Reed over a period of 5 to 8 years. Part of what makes this collection so very valuable for science is that all of the samples were collected the same way at Walter Reed. They all have very, very nice supporting clinical data, and they all have a matching blood sample. So if we find something interesting in the tumor that looks unique to triple negative, we can go looking for the same marker in the blood and hopefully develop a blood test that would allow us to detect triple negative cancer even if it does not show up in a mammogram.
Now, the Pacific Northwest National Lab is using an $8.6 million research grant from the Department of Defense to do some of the sampling. This is about a 20-month program, is that right?
That's correct. The funding period is 20 months. Now, that $8.6 million is shared between PNNL, Walter Reed Army Medical Center, and the WinVir Research Institute. And WinVir in Pennsylvania acts as the biorepository for these samples that have been collected at Walter Reed and maintains them in good condition with all the appropriate medical records. They're also more expert in genomic issues. That's the DNA and RNA side of what a tumor does. And we at PNNL are really first-class experts in the protein side of things. So it's a very nice collaboration with about half the money staying in Richland and the other half being shared with the folks back east.
And we're talking this morning with Karen Rodland with the Pacific Northwest National Lab. And Karen, as far as the 20-month research that is underway, this is really only the start, though, right?
Absolutely. So, and this is the initial project where we're going to do very in-depth characterization of as many samples as we can access that have sufficient material to actually do a protein analysis on. This is one of our major advantages at PNNL, is that we have more sensitivity with our protein measurements than most of the other places across the country. So what we're hoping to do is a very extensive catalog of the protein expression patterns that are unique to triple negative breast cancer and match them against the changes in the DNA that may be inherited that may explain why some populations are at greater risk. This will give us a list of candidates for a blood test. We'll probably start doing the blood work in the 20-month period, but really the way this kind of thing works is you get your leads, you get enough evidence to tell you which ones are worth following, and then you write another proposal, which gets reviewed by another bunch of scientists, and if they think that your lead is promising enough, then you get additional funds to continue to do the preclinical studies and then the clinical studies.
Now, do you have any kind of a hunch what may be causing this problem?
There are a number of other pathways, information transfer pathways within cells that work with the estrogen receptor pathway and work with that HER2 pathway. We call it crosstalk. It's if the Stevens bypass gets clogged up, you go down JADWIN. And what we're hoping to do is identify the JADWIN and the West Richland bypass that the tumor cell takes when one other pathway is broken. And by doing that, we hope to identify exactly what other places we should target.
Well, just don't go down GWA because they're doing construction along there as well.
So you see, JADWIN is a detour for both George mm-hmm. Washington and Stevens, and this is part of the roadmap. We're trying to get a roadmap of what goes on inside a cancer cell.
Hey, we've talked a little bit here, too, about the fact that using mammography is not a sure thing to detect triple-negative breast cancer. What are some of the screening processes that they go through to find women that do have this problem?
Well, the clinical gold standard is a combination of monthly self-exams of the breast by the woman herself and mammography. And very often in younger women, the routine yearly screening mammogram won't necessarily pick something up, but a woman will notice it on the self-exam. Then she'll go in for a diagnostic mammogram, which uses a more technically sophisticated procedure, perhaps ultrasound to go with it, other types of imaging modalities. But what we would like to do is to also have some kind of a complementary blood test that would suggest that it's time to go in for a mammogram. And mammography is a lot like a PSA test. If something's bad, if you have a bad mammogram, boy, you need to be seeing a doctor and you need to find out what's going on. It may be relatively benign, but it could be very bad. On the other hand, there's a significant number of cases that pop up without showing on mammography or on a PSA test. And so just because you've had one and you come clean doesn't mean you can breathe easily for the rest of your life. You have to keep up the surveillance.
Will this research play a role in any other type of cancer, or is it specifically for the triple-negative breast cancer?
Because we'll be comparing triple-negative breast tumors against other types of cancers to as a comparison to see what's different in triple-negative, we will also learn something about what's different about the other kinds of breast cancer. So it's possible we'll get new insight into other kinds as well.
And Karen, I imagine there are a lot of women that unfortunately have this triple-negative breast cancer. They're hoping you'll get a solution to this very soon.
Well, absolutely. I will tell you this, that the breast cancer survivor community is very proactive. They are well-organized. They have support groups. They lobby Congress to make sure that Congress understands how important and prevalent this disease is. They help out with peer review panels, and they are very dedicated to helping to cure this very devastating disease. And we really appreciate, we in the research community appreciate everything they do for us.
All right, and folks want to get more information on this. Can they go online?
Absolutely. So there are a number of, the Susan G. Komen Foundation has a very good website. The National Institutes of Health, NIH.gov, and then you would go to the National Cancer Institute, so that would be cancer.gov. It's got an excellent website that tells you all you really want to know about breast cancer and the research programs that are going on.
All right, Karen, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Karen Nodland with the Pacific Northwest National Lab here on KONA.